Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey, my name is Shoshana Bean, and you are listening to 11, the official theater podcast.
Hello, and welcome to 11, the official theater podcast that brings the biggest stars and creatives together in one place to discuss life in the arts. Now, she's the instantly recognizable Broadway star and Billboard number one recording artist that's known globally for her fierce vocals and undeniable stage presence. She is a veteran of the theater world in New York, perhaps best known for her portrayal as Elphaba in the Broadway production of Wicked, having replaced Idina Menzel in the role, with other prominent performances including Shelley in the Tony Award-winning production of Hairspray, and most recently as Jenna in the Broadway production of the Sarah Bareilles musical Waitress. Oh, and she's also played Fanny Bryce in Funny Girl and earned a Jeff Award nomination for her portrayal of Cece Bloom in the pre-Broadway musical production of Beaches. Outside of the theatre world, she's released three solo albums, all of which have topped the iTunes R&B and blues charts in the US and UK, with her fourth and most recent project, Spectrum, debuting at number one on the Billboard jazz charts. She's also sold out concerts around the globe and performed alongside the likes of Ariana Grande, David Foster, and Postmodern Jukebox. And now she's bringing her holiday show, Sing Your Hallelujah, to London audiences at Cadogan Hall this December, with some rather special guests making an appearance. In an exclusive conversation, we dive into the holiday season to discuss her arrival here in London and what we can all expect in early December from her holiday show. We also discuss learning to never take for granted the world of the arts and how she learned to keep her creative side alive during the last 18 months. Plus, we talk festive jumpers, Pret sandwiches, and why she's proud to be labelled an honorary Brit. And also her rather cute and personal moment with the newest Witches of Oz, as her besties are cast in the Wicked movie. That's right, it's the remarkable Shoshana Bean here now on this, the next episode of 11, the official theatre podcast. To ensure the safety of all involved in this episode of 11, Shoshana and I connected for this conversation digitally, so please forgive any brief moments while we wait for the internet to catch up. Enjoy. Okay, so she's my perfect guest at the most perfect time of year, and she's bringing her perfect holiday show to the UK. It's Broadway star and Billboard number one recording artist. I can hear you laughing. It's Shoshana Bean. Hi, Shoshana. How are you?
I love everything being perfect.
You are perfect to me. So it's not an over exaggeration for me. How are you doing? I know that you've just touched down here in the UK. You're actually officially now an honorary Brit.
Oh, thank you for that. I fancy myself one as well, but you know, you can't really be your own self-proclaimed. It's nice when other people who are actually officially Brits give you that title. So thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm more than happy to give you that title. You definitely deserve it. And because you spend a lot of your time here performing, I know that little thing called a pandemic got in the way, which has prevented you from doing that. But the first opportunity to come back, you have done so. And it's very, very exciting for us because you're coming to perform your holiday show, which some of us actually will remember, those people that have been listening to 11 for a while, that the first time that you and I got to talk, which was pretty much, we were thinking this time last year, was when you were doing the digital version of it, having done it live in the States the year before. So you're sort of fully into the swing of it now. And I wondered if you think back to a year ago compared to now, I mean, can you believe you're actually going to get to perform live?
Yes and no. It's such a weird thing, right? Because it's like, if we think about it, you know, you and I just said it when we first got on the Zoom, which is just like, it feels like yesterday and it feels like an eternity ago all at the same time. It's such a weird sort of like nothingness vortex void that we've all sort of slipped into. So it's like, yes, last year it was like, will we ever be in front of an audience again? And then as soon as I was back in front of an audience, it was like, did we ever really leave? Like, it's just such a strange flip-flop. But I'm thrilled that I get to be here and that I get to do it live this year for sure.
I don't know if this is an admission that I should say to you directly, but hey, let's go with it. I listen to this album all year round, not just this time of year. Is it weird to listen to it at any other time of the year? And do you ever listen to it back?
I love that. That makes me so happy. I actually have listened to it myself quite a bit. I think when we were in the process of, you know, trying to get the show together and making it happen, and the first time we'd ever really, any of us had really done anything like it. So it was completely all consuming and the most stressful like experience probably of anything I've ever created, to be honest with you. So it wasn't until after it was, and then the promotion of it and trying to sell tickets for it and like all of it was really, really stressful. And I think it wasn't until the whole thing was over that I was able to step back and be like, holy crap, like look what we created. And more than anything, like I have an album out there that exists in the world that is live at the Apollo, which is like, I grew up listening to James Brown live at the Apollo. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy to me. So yes, I have listened to it because I, as an artist, as a singer, I just can't believe that I have a Live at the Apollo album. There is a song on there that I just love. I love for the arrangement of it. I love for the lyrics of it. And I love for singing it with two of my dear friends. And that's If It Be Your Will. And I listened to that song, yeah, randomly just throughout the year because I just love it. And I'm super proud of it. So yeah, admittedly, which is weird because I don't really listen to my own music. Like it's not... I have a friend who works with one of my like singing idols, one of the biggest influences in my singing life, who shall remain nameless, but it's totally obvious. And she works with this woman and she's like, she listens to her music all the time. Like we're always listening to her albums. And I'm like, I can't listen to my own music. I don't listen to it. But this record is different.
Is that the norm then? So for example, do singers not tend to really listen to their music back once it's been produced?
I think for me, because I'm so involved in the process, by the time the record comes out, I never want to hear it again, if that makes sense. Or I need a long break from it because I have listened to it constantly. Not in, just in the process of writing and recording it, but producing it and mixing it and mastering it. I mean, the thousands of times I have probably heard All To Me or Make It Rain because of how long it took to mix and master. You know, it's just like, I never want to hear it again until like months or years later that I'm like, oh yeah, that's really beautiful. But I don't know. I think I think there's different types of artists. And I think I am very hard on myself, very critical and like a little bit self-loathing. So listening to my own stuff is like, it's not a pleasant experience, you know? Until there's enough distance from the creation of it that I can be like, oh, I can see this like from a sort of a 30,000 foot view as opposed to like a microscopic view. So
absolutely. I think also as well, what I like about that specific album before we talk about the show in itself is that it feels like it leans into the way in which you're a storyteller and you interpret music, even just really stuff like just off the top of my head, like when you sing like Mary, Did You Know? And it's like, yeah, Mary, did you know? And it's like, it's just the way in which you interpret it. It's just really enjoyable for us as listeners, you know, as me as a fan of yours. And I can imagine for you as an artist to sing songs that I imagine are wonderful lyrically, it just must be really enjoyable.
Oh, thank you. Well, first, that means a lot to me because storytelling for me as a singer is my primary concern. So I love when people feel like that's what resonates with them is the storytelling. Or you hear songs that you've heard, you know, all through your whole life. But I love when people say they hear them differently because of however we interpreted them, you know, whether it be the way that we reimagine the arrangement or the music, or whether it be lyrically just the things that that I lean into that they hadn't heard before. It's my favorite thing. So thank you. I just love this music. I try to pick songs that I feel like I have a story to tell through that story. Otherwise I have no business singing them, you know? So, and I love loving a song, but being like, but let's reimagine it. Like we've heard these songs a million times. How can we give them, you know, there's only so many notes on the keyboard and only so many different styles, but we try to bring our own fresh spin to it. So that makes it more fun for us.
So Cadogan Hall, 4th of December, you would sing your Hallelujah. Before we talk about what people can expect, a live British audience at an iconic venue. We can call this a homecoming concert, right? We can say she's back.
Oh, I would love it if you would, again, because I'm honored to, if anyone will say, like, welcome home to London. So yes, absolutely. I haven't played Cadogan Hall since 2018, I think. So, or had like a proper full concert. I feel like I did a little one at one of the Pizza Expresses, I think,
yes,
in 2019, maybe, right?
Yeah. But yeah, yeah.
It's 2 years, 3 years, 4 years is just, it's too long. So I'm so happy. Yes, I'm back.
So in your own words, what on how would you describe what is Sing Your Hallelujah?
It still carries the same message that it did last year when we were obviously in a very different time. So last year, it was a way to connect and to honor tradition and to feel some sense of celebration and togetherness without ignoring what had happened during the past year, and to try to find a way to do that musically virtually, you know, mm-hmm. to make people feel like they had maybe a new tradition, but still had the, you know, again, this would have been, this year will be our fourth year doing a Christmas show at the Apollo. So like to be able to still make it happen last year still felt like, hey, we're still honoring our tradition in a way, you know, we're still mm-hmm. figuring out how to make this work. So, but this year, you know, I was in New York before I came here. And now that I'm here, I feel it in both cities, but like there is a palpable, you can feel the holidays coming and you can tell, like, I mean, I was walking down Fifth Avenue. I'm like, we didn't get this last year. We didn't get the kids pouring out of Radio City in their little Christmas dresses. And we didn't get the streets, you know, filled with people shopping. And we didn't get that last year. So it feels very different this year. And so I feel like the show carries the same message, but it's just a little more heightened this year. You know, it's the same message of tradition and nostalgia and connectedness and togetherness and celebration, but really more on the celebration side this year. I just think we have a lot to reflect on and celebrate, like to be able to sit in person together and experience music is just really special.
I'm now just imagining the local theater gay that's come to New York, walking down Fifth Ave with his parents and just spotting you and just like, literally, you'd probably kill him off being like, wait, is that Shoshana Bean walking down there? Oh my God.
Well, no one can tell anymore with masks. So, you know.
Isn't it good? I was saying this is so funny you said that. I was saying this the other day that it's actually really good for avoiding the people that you don't want to see after the pandemic. You're like, oh, I didn't see you. I'm so sorry.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, basically, you know, like, avoid.
What's funny though is it's like I still have this innate ability to spot people. Like I was in the same exact trip that I'm talking to you about, walking down Fifth Avenue. I looked inside a store and I saw one of my musicians in there and he had his mask on, but it's just like there are certain people whose stature or eyes or whatever are unmistakable. I got off the plane yesterday at Heathrow. We had to take one of those like shuttle buses and then you go up this, you know, it was a whole thing to get, they, I don't know, wherever we landed was way too far from the terminal. And I'm getting on the escalator and I hear this voice behind me and I was like, that's Colin. I know it. And sure enough at baggage claim, I mean, like I can tell by your voice. I don't even need to see your face. Like Colin is like one of my favorite rappers. So I'm like, that's him. I just, you know, so there is something interesting about being able to recognize people, even when you would think that you're kind of unrecognizable, you know.
We're going to be completely overwhelmed by having you on the stage, but you also have some special guests who are going to be appearing as well, which is actually very new news because you only announced it very recently. And I wondered if you'd be so kind as to walk me through who some of those people are going to be, because you've basically just gone through the West End and picked literally the most talented people. Like, talk about sport for choice. I mean, come on.
I know. And what's funny is like, they're my friends. So it's like, not even like, how can I pick the best singers? They just happen to be my favorite people. So Celinda Schoenmaker, Richard Fleischman and Rob Hauschen are three of your favorite West End superstars. And then my friend, Britton Newbill, who's actually like my number one writing partner in music and dear friend and an extraordinary writing partner separate from writing with me. Or writer, period, separate from writing with me. He's American, but he's married to a Brit and he recently moved here during the pandemic. So he's here and we're going to do this Christmas song that we wrote together, which is so special. But yeah, it's going to be a magical night. And I have a new guest that I added a couple of days ago who we haven't announced, who her voice and her talent is new to me, but I mentioned her name on another interview and they were like, oh my God, we love her. And her name's Lois Morgan Gay. And her voice is just extraordinary. And she had DM'd me and been like, listen, I have tickets to your concert, but if I'm being honest, like my dream is to sing with you. And I had just so happened to have lost a duet partner the day before. So I was like, you know, why not listen to this? She'd sent me some videos and I listened and she has an extraordinary instrument. So that's a new special guest and it'll just be a party. It's going to be so fun.
It's so exciting. I mean, does this mean that it's open season for auditions? Because I can't sing, but I can do a good duet of Sing Your Hallelujah if you want me, you know, I'll be there. So
it's always open season. I do love when people, you know, send me stuff to listen to. I don't always respond. I don't have, like, you know, yeah. Things come in faster than I can, and then they get buried and you know, but that I just, that one happened to be perfect timing. It just, I was sitting in traffic. I was scrolling at a dead stop. I might add, in LA, you're often at a dead stop. And it just happened to be perfect timing. And I listened and I was like, she's got a great voice for what slot I'm looking to fill. So, and I thought it would be cool to bring someone new into the mix. You know, it sounds like a lot of you guys already know who she is, but I love bringing new faces and voices to a new audience.
Bless you. That was the politest no I've ever had without you saying no. So thank you for being so kind.
I wasn't saying no. I was saying yes. Always submit. There are just no, this was like, you know, there are never any promises, but yes, send me your video.
RIP your mentions and DMs. Gosh, maybe we'll cut this bit out. You'll be like, why? Did you ever say? Now, for people like myself and the thousands of people that did spend last Christmas with you getting to watch that amazing live stream, and I watched it so many times, I was obsessed, and as can sound somewhat disingenuous, but it really was spectacular. And I wondered, are we going to get the opportunity to see that show live? Is the one that you're going to do at Cadogan Hall perhaps slightly different? I guess, what will we actually see on the night?
There are some additions and some subtractions. You know, the concert itself, the film concert, was barely over an hour, and that included like a lot of interview footage and BTS and stuff like that, the documentary side of it. So there are quite a few new additions just to give you guys like a full concert experience.
Okay.
So it's similar but different.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
In terms of the, I guess, the difference between the holiday season, and I always call it holiday rather than Christmas, between the United States and the UK, do you, as somebody that spends a lot of time on both sides of the pond, is there a noticeable difference, or is that sort of just what they say on the TV?
Oh, that's a good question. You guys are very different audiences. I don't know. I think obviously you guys have some very classic different traditions, but I think music, you know, is the universal language. So I think it really doesn't matter what your traditions might be. Music kind of just like supersedes all of that and just rises above all that. You guys, you're just one of my favorite audiences for which to perform, because you're just wild. You just are so grateful and gracious and loving. So I don't know. I don't want to be so bold as to say like you're going to love it the most. I don't know. Because then, you know, New York at the Apollo is a whole different thing. But like, you guys are some of my favorite audiences to be with. So yeah, we'll see. And I think we've been apart for so long. I anticipate this one being really special.
Definitely. It's going to be very, very special. I guess the reason why I asked was because I feel like, and I always reminded of this in January, once Christmas is sort of cleared out and they take all the decorations down and everything feels horrendously bare, is just that sense in the UK, I think, of just like camaraderie and just like warmth and togetherness, even though it's absolutely freezing outside. I love that thing that you can almost not describe or touch, or but you can definitely feel it. And I feel like getting to have you here singing this album and this show, and then getting to add Christmas on top of that, it feels quite overwhelming to think about it. And I don't know if it's because of the pandemic and the last year that it feels like everything's been so far away, but it feels like it's going to be an exciting together but quite an emotional experience.
Well, I think exactly what you said is probably why I love this season so much, is exactly that. There is an unspoken yet very palpable feeling in the air where people are just a little bit kinder and that much more generous and that much more available to connect and slow down and spend time together. And I think what made last year so painful was that is our like one sort of agreed upon time of year. And we were able to like really be together and celebrate and gather. I mean, people did, of course, but even the people who did probably didn't do it in the way that they normally did it, you know? So I feel like it was a really lonely time for a lot of people. And I think not only do we get to come back to what we love about the season this year, we get to come back after not having gotten to have it last year. So I agree with you. I think it's even more powerful and even more emotional and even more intense. So yeah, I'm so excited.
Do you think because of the last sort of 18 months that, not that there was ever any question or doubt, I think, about any of our love of the arts, but it feels like it's, especially going back to, you know, for example, with the West End reopening sort of from September, it feels like our love of it has been cemented even more than before, if that was even possible. And I wondered, as an artist and as a creator, have you felt that as well?
Oh, totally. I think anytime you lose something that you take for granted, I don't want to say take for granted in the sense of not appreciating it, but just never thinking it's going to go away. We never thought that the West End and Broadway would shut down, that it was never a thought in our minds that we wouldn't be able to gather in a stadium for a concert of our favorite artists. Like, it just wasn't, that in our lifetime was not a possibility. So I think any time that the impossible happens, your appreciation grows exponentially. I mean, I haven't been to a proper West End or Broadway show yet, but I've been in a theater and I've been at a concert, and it's overwhelming. Yeah, because, and not that we ever were immune to the power of it, but it was just a given. And again, not ungrateful and not taking for granted, but just, it was a given. It was something at any moment we could just go do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then it wasn't for a long time, for the longest ever that it's ever gone away. Hopefully, you know, we'll never forget how lucky we are to have that again, because we know what it's like to be without it.
Please, when you look out to the audience, just know that we are, of course, all loving it, but probably quite emotional, I imagine, because it's our favorite time of year, but also it's the opportunity to reconnect with you and everybody else. I think it's going to be really, really special. Now, there is one thing I wanted to quickly ask you about, and I know that when you look at some of the stuff that you've done in your career, you have had somebody by your side that's been a partner for performing, and I know you've performed together at some of the venues that you've mentioned, and that is Miss Cynthia Erivo. And I just wondered, have you had the opportunity? I spoke to her literally yesterday at the Black British Theatre Awards and wished her very many congratulations. Have you had the opportunity to talk to her since her very small movie casting was announced?
Yes, she actually called me. She and Ari FaceTimed me about 10 minutes apart, right before the news dropped. And they were like, we thought we had more time to tell you this, but wanted you to know this is happening. It was very sweet. Yes, it's awesome.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Just casual FaceTime from Cynthia and Ariana Grande. That's just a normal day in the world of Shoshana Bean, because you are that amazing.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've known Ari since she's like, you know, 13 years old, and or less than that, I guess. And obviously I've known Cynthia for 8-9 years or something like that now. So yes, it is very cool to watch your friends get there, you know, be cast and appropriately and deservedly and rightfully.
Do you think that you and Cynthia would ever get the opportunity to bring your show to the UK? Because I know that myself and lots of millions of other people would love to have that opportunity to be in the room with you both. Oh my gosh.
I mean, I think that was initially the intention, but I think she's just got way too much going on, you know? So, I hate to say no, but, you know, because anything's possible, but, you know, given her insane schedule, it just doesn't seem likely.
Well, we can keep fingers crossed. Never say never. I always feel like
of it's course.
Always a possibility. Exactly. Always a possibility. Okay, so my final two questions for you. While you're here in the UK, I know you've got a brief amount of time in the run-up to the show itself. We spoke about what that's going to be like, but is there anything else on the wish list that this holiday season you've got to do while you're sort of here in the UK?
Gosh, what do I always do? Well, I got my Christmas Day sandwich from Pret today, which is like, you know, what very important. Or Christmas lunch is what it's called. Christmas lunch sandwich. Do you even know what I'm talking about?
I do. Don't worry. You don't sound crazy.
Okay. And what else? I mean, like, my mom's coming next week, so I think we're going to do like the Christmas markets and go to Winter Wonderland and stuff like that. But really, like, I've been here so many times, I've pretty much done it all. So I just like waking up here and going to get my coffee here and reading here and writing here and seeing, it's really just seeing all my friends who I've been able to see for years, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to go ice skating with some friends. That's what we do every Christmas season, that I'm either here or there in New York. Yeah, just being here is enough for me, truly.
You really like being here and we really like having you here. So please do enjoy your time. And very final question, the quickest one. I've got a Christmas jumper. Is that allowed at your show? Are we allowed to do that?
It is requested, not required, but definitely requested. Please, please.
Okay, I'm going to hold you. Yes. I'm going to find either the prettiest, cutest, or one that flashes. Are you okay with that? It's not going to distract you.
Oh, I would love a flashy. Absolutely. Outdress me, please.
that will never happen. That's definitely not going to happen. You'll serve. But thank you so much. 4th of December, Cadogan Hall. I cannot wait. It's going to be, finally get to listen to the album that I've listened to 11 months of the year, actually sung by the person. So it's going to be a full, whole circle moment. But thank you so much. And it's so wonderful to see you again and to have you here on British Shores.
Thank you, my love. Have a great day. It's so good to talk to you again. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. I'll talk to you very soon. Thank you so much. See you soon. See you on the 4th. Bye, babe.
Yes, I can't wait. Bye, sweetheart.
You've been listening to 11, the official theatre podcast. Find out more about 11 at 11podcast.com or via the Broadway Podcast Network.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.